I'm Kim Azzarelli, and you're listening to Seneca's Conversations on Power and Purpose. I am so delighted to partner with Makers on this special six-part series called Keep Going. In this series, we listen to incredible conversations from Makers conferences with a special focus on DEI. The goal is to use these podcasts as a jumping-off point for conversations about DEI in your own organization. I want to give a special thanks to the 2021 Makers Conference sponsors, P&G, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and official wellness sponsor, Lululemon. Now, we launched the Seneca Women Podcast Network about a year ago with founding partner P&G and iHeartRadio, with the goal of amplifying the voices of women around the world. You probably know that podcasting is a fast-growing industry, with over 50% of podcast audience being women. But what you may not know is that only 20% of top podcasts are hosted by women. We want to change that, so we are launching dozens of women-focused and women-led podcasts. So if you have a show or you want to collaborate on a show, reach out to us at info@senecawomen.com. Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest host for the Keep Going series, Amina Brown. Amina is a spoken word poet, author, and host of the podcast Her with Amina Brown on the Seneca Women Podcast Network. Amina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kim. So excited to be the guest host of this special series in collaboration with Makers. And I have special feelings about Makers because it was one of the events that I got a chance to attend in the before times, the beginning of 2020. It was so inspiring to be in that space. And that is the place where Kim and I met. And now under Seneca Women Podcast Network, we are making podcasts like these. So that's really exciting. And today we're going to listen to an excerpt from an incredible conversation between Lovey Ajayi Jones, New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and podcast host, and Bozema St. John, Chief Marketing Officer at Netflix. This conversation took place at the Makers Conference back in February. And before we get into the conversation, I have to tell you, my first time listening to Bozema and Lovey talk about this, it just reminded me of all the times that I've entered certain workplaces, certain meetings, certain business opportunities, and felt that feeling that maybe I needed to put on some type of armor or try to be anything but myself to fit in or do whatever it seemed necessary to do to be in that environment. And in this conversation, I hope that you'll be encouraged, as I was, to remember to be your full self. To bring who you are to the table, right? And following this conversation, I'll be joined by Daisy Ojeda-Dominguez, Chief People Officer at Vice Media Group. And Daisy and I are going to talk about what we just heard, and she'll give us her takeaways and how we can bring back these lessons from Lovey and Bozema into our own workplaces. So let's take a listen to what Bozema and Lovey have to say.
What is the armor that you put on to face the day, the scary day?
I am dressed to kill, okay?
Okay.
And I am going to say the things that sometimes are scary to say in rooms in which sometimes it feels like my voice is not supposed to be as loud as it is. And I do that in my way that I appear, and I do that in my spirit, because that's what allows for me to fully show through, you know, for me to fully be in the room. And by the way, I'm not afraid of my difference. I'm not afraid of looking different. And so like it gives me the freedom to even lean into that, to get even further into that. Because listen, I'm not going to be a white man. It's not happening. This is not happening. You know, I'm tired of the shrinking. I'm not shrinking.
Yeah.
I don't want any of us to shrink in these spaces. You know, it's like, listen, if we're not supposed to be here and I am here, oh, then you're going to see all of this. It was like, yes, I will wear the red head to toe with my big afro, and I will show up a few minutes late so that you're forced to look at me as I walk in.
And you have to deal because I'm excellent at what I do.
The red outfit is backed up by some red hot heat that I have in my brain and on the page. So let's not get that twisted. It's not just out here shiny for no reason. There is also a lot of steel behind the shine. I have learned over time that it's not just about the look, right? I learned that very early on because what happened to me and what happens to a lot of women who are in the corporate spaces is that you are told to look a certain way, right?
Yes.
And maybe even not directly, but certainly indirectly. You know what the look is. You know what you're supposed to be when you're in these spaces. And I recognize that being that superficially did not help me in those spaces. You know, it didn't matter. Like, my ideas were the same. The inside was the same. The external was trying to fit into and trying to assimilate into a culture that was not mine. And the image that was built was not created with me in mind. And so I had to focus on what was inside. And I know that sounds like, duh, well, of course you had to focus on what's inside. But no, that's not what happens to us. We're so distracted by trying to fit in superficially, right? By trying to slit down the hair so it doesn't stick up, trying to sit on our hands so that we don't gesture, trying to control the timbre of our voice so that it doesn't go too high and you sound angry or you sound too passionate. We do that so much that it distracts us from actually the real work, because how can you do both? You know, how can you be expected to be excellent if you're concentrating on all these other things? That's where your energy goes. And so as soon as I let go of that stuff, as soon as I let go of those expectations and trying to be this thing that other people wanted to be, I was actually able to then let the work shine. You know, I'm able to put all the energy into my work so that I could actually come up with the best goddamn ideas.
Oof, I am already riveted. What a great conversation. And I am delighted to be joined by Daisy Ogier Dominguez. Daisy is Chief People Officer at Vice Media Group, and she has a book coming out next year called Inclusion Revolution, based on a popular TEDx talk she gave in 2020. Welcome, Daisy.
Thank you, Amina. I'm so glad to be here.
So, Daisy, can you start off and give me, we're hearing in this conversation between Lovey and Bozema, this idea of how we can bring our full authentic self into the workplace. Can you talk about, how did you even begin that process? And what does that look like now at this point in your career?
You know, well, let's be clear. For years, we've been asking people to bring their authentic selves to the workplace, but we don't talk about the risks and the dangers of doing that for so many of us. In the early part of my career, it wasn't lost on me that people that looked like me were often sidelined, marginalized, and drawn out to invisibility. You quickly learn that you have to spend your energy, as Bozema said, you know, trying to fit in into white professional norms. And that can be suffocating. You know, for me, that meant ensuring that there was not a trace of an accent to be heard or anything that could be called out in my appearance that seemed too ethnic or overly sexualized. And it took me time to stop doubting my abilities and not feel like an imposter in organizations that are not designed for people like me. And, you know, as I heard Bozema speak, I remember that along the way, there were many times that I gave up small parts of myself. I let my courage shrink. I let my voice diminish. Even as I was fighting to bring more seats to the table, I had to desperately fight to earn and keep my own while watching others face far less hurdles. And so that authenticity, that courage that I show today, that's been slowly revealing to me over the years. And it's been about no longer letting toxic managers set up roadblocks for my success or having peers question my value. It's about building deep and lasting friendships and communities in our workplaces of support and of encouragement. And it's also been about recognizing that my vulnerability doesn't diminish my capacity to lead. It enhances it. And that's what I bring to the workplace.
Come on, Daisy. Oh, I appreciate you bringing nuance into that. This is a process because sometimes we enter the workplace and we feel like I have to have all of this together now in my first moment, in my first meeting, or I'm starting this new job. I got to have it all together. And it's a process. It's a process for everybody. I think sometimes we see other people in our workplaces and think, man, look at that person, how confident they seem when they walk in a room, and you're not knowing behind the scenes that's been a process in their professional experience. I really appreciate you adding that today. Also, can you give us some takeaways here? Because when we are talking about things like what it really looks like to do the work of inclusion, to do the work of diversity, to do the work of equity, right? In some of our workplaces, we're starting to enter an ethereal conversation. We're starting to have sort of a pie in the sky kind of thoughts about this. But we actually need practical steps of what do we do? Based on what we're hearing Lovey and Bozema bring into this conversation, tell me, what are your takeaways you would give for people who are leading in their workplaces? What's the stuff to do now?
There is so much stuff, but I like to frame it in threes. And I think every manager, every leader needs to do three things to nurture workplaces that work for everyone. First, reflect and listen. Everyone wants to immediately jump to solutions, but you can't solve a complex structural problem that you don't understand. So take responsibility for your own learning by asking better questions and really listening. What are the biases that hold back women, non-binary people, BIPOC, LGBTQ, and other coworkers from marginalized communities at my workplace? What am I overlooking or tolerating that goes unsaid for years and years? What are the assumptions, habits, or practices that hold me back from creating an inclusive and equitable work environment? Ask yourself that question and take time to really reflect and listen. Now, the second is show that you care. There's a lot of pressure for leaders to have all the answers. And the truth is, you do not have to know all the answers, but you have to show evidence of care, that you really care and that you're willing to put the effort. Sometimes people just want to acknowledgement that you see them, the difficulty they're facing, and that you care about them. That means engaging and navigating difficult conversations, not shrinking away from them, not just simply calling yourself an ally, but doing the work of an ally. And that takes us to number three, which is to own this work. Create and support fresh organizational practices, programs, and policies. Fresh. Not the old school way of it, but the new world of work. This means looking at processes that do not disadvantage any race or gender group before they even get a chance to succeed. Take a close look at everything. What's there? What needs updating? What are you missing? And then address the weaknesses and strip bias and discriminatory practices that are either formal or informal out of your hiring, your compensation, your performance, and your advancement practices. Amina, I engage in this work because I believe change is possible. And I'm trying to make work safe, equitable, and inclusive for all people because it is possible, worthy, and important. And in order to do that, I'm counting on you and everyone who's watching this to help realize this vision, because it's up to all of us to drive this change forward.
Yeah. Ooh, Daisy, thank you for sharing with us. First of all, for sharing with us some challenges that we all can do in our workplaces, that we all have some places we can step up to this work. And thank you for bringing your expertise to this table today, Daisy. Oh, thank you so much. So great.
My pleasure. Thank you, Amina.
Daisy, yes. Every time I hear Daisy, I not only want to listen to what she says, but I also want to take action and do something about the things that she says. And speaking of do something, let's ask ourselves three questions. I want you to think about this. What are the habits or practices that are currently holding you back from creating a more inclusive work environment? What are the ways that you can bring care and thoughtfulness to your leadership, to your allyship, to how you do the work that diversity, equity, and inclusion requires in your own workplace? And how can you create fresh policies, fresh programs, fresh practices that would better support your team and support the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion on your team? And think, this is just a little of what's to come.
What an incredible conversation. I hope you found it as valuable as I did. So tune in next Wednesday for another amazing Makers Conversation about how we can all contribute to making progress in the workplace. You're listening to Seneca's Conversations on Power and Purpose, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio, with support from founding partner P&G. Listen to Seneca's Conversations on Power and Purpose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information on Seneca Women, follow us on social media or visit our website at senecawomen.com.